probably the funnest year.
Yeah. It's like the way college, the explanation of it, or like this, the setting of it, it's the only time in your life where everyone you're around, everyone, you're surrounded by everyone who's your same age doing your same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what's so awesome about it.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to the workforce, you got people way older, way young, you know what I mean? Like people all over the place, all different.
Yeah, you got responsibility. It felt like in college, I mean, you cliched your classwork and you didn't want to like completely flunk out. And you might have like a part-time job or job, but you were just kind of like, eh, so be it, whatever.
Yeah. But you're just, everyone you're surrounded by is your same age in your same like position of life, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And just like, creates
just complete freedom.
Yeah, it just creates an awesome mentality and atmosphere.
Yeah. Did you have a job your freshman year?
No.
I didn't either. My mom, for some reason, talked me into, she's like, you know, you should, because I had a scholarship, so my tuition was mostly paid for. So it was just like living expenses. And she was like, you know, you should just take some student loans, which was a bad idea to be honest looking back at it. But like, I just took student loans and room and board wasn't that much back then. But yeah, I didn't even have a job at all. No job. Very minimal schoolwork.
And then just set up your school so you have tons of days off, tons of downtime.
Free time.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So much free time.
Brady, did you have a good college experience?
I loved college.
Freshman year of college? Best year ever?
I hunted a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being free just to do whatever, kind of.
It's pretty fun.
Going from being a really good student in high school, like did my homework every single day, to college, pushing it off a little bit and going hunting more. Like that was... I was a fifth year senior.
I went from like a 3.98 in high school to with scholarship to then like not having a scholarship going into my senior year.
That's a good time.
Yeah, I was like, oh, college is harder. And especially if you don't go quite a bit.
Nobody's on you to tell you to get work done like your parents are or your teachers are in high school. Like in college, you are left alone.
Yeah.
Like they don't care if you do it or not. To decide. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care.
They don't care.
Yeah. Being a big fan of March Madness that first year, I remember I had a roommate. We were just like all in on college basketball. Like we just didn't go to college. We just didn't go to classes for like legit 3 weeks.
Yeah. Just watch basketball.
We ate mac and cheese, sat on the couch, and we watched college hoops all day long.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we played pickup when we weren't watching games. It's pretty hilarious.
My childhood household, like it wasn't overly strict by any means, but like I didn't have a phone until I was 16 because my parents didn't want me to have one until I started driving. Like no TV in the morning, you know, had a curfew. I think my curfew my senior year was 11:30, just before midnight. If I remember, it was something like that. It was before midnight. I can't remember if it was earlier. I think it was 11:30. So I just remember my first day at freshman year of college. I'm like, TV in the morning. Staying out all night.
All night long. Sleeping in. Nap times.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever stay in the dorms?
No. I lived in an apartment just like right off campus, like adjacent to it.
Yeah.
But it was an apartment complex. So there was like six buildings total. Tons of college age kids.
What was my hall called? I can't remember. I wasn't an Aber. I can't remember what mine was. The dungeon. That I lived on the very bottom floor.
So like that was when like Halo, the first Halo was the
video game.
So everyone on my floor had all connected it together. So we're all playing Halo at all hours of the night together from like all the dorm rooms.
I lived in this place called The Wedge and it was notorious, which I didn't know that when I moved there. But when you would tell somebody like, oh yeah, I live at The Wedge, everyone was like, oh shit, you live at The Wedge. Like they were just like, bad news. This is bad news. And yeah, I mean, we held down the reputation pretty good.
Good.
There's a lot of good times.
I mean, I can't remember what my hall was called.
Should I look them
up? I feel bad that I can't remember.
Did you live on campus then, like in a dorm? Mm-hmm.
Freshman
really?
Year, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what...
Every floor was... So it was a co-ed dorm, but the floors were one gender.
Yeah.
So like my floor was all boys. Oh, no. Next floor up was all girls.
Gotcha.
And so on and so forth. And it was fun.
Chaos.
Just going up and down floors. And yeah, it was awesome. It was chaos.
Yeah.
So there's Aber, Craig, Dunaway, Elrod. Jesse, Knowles,
Elrod
Miller Hall, Panzer, Turner.
You should have been in Miller.
I know. I was in Aber and then I was in, what was it? saw that one that was in before. I was in the all. I can't remember Elrod. I think I might have been in Aber, and then Elrod was my second one.
Dunaway Dungeon is what, because we all called it the dungeon. And we were on the, was I it, was yeah. on the ground floor. I'm coming from Vegas.
Yep.
And my, so it's like half underground, half above ground. So my window was right at ground level.
Right.
Montana, first year. From the desert.
Yeah. Freak you out.
I mean, there wasn't much of a window.
Yeah.
Starting like November on.
Right.
You know, like I was, that was weird. It's just like, covered in snow.
Yeah. Does your place have a basement now?
My house?
No, yeah.
No.
No places have a basement, really?
No. I mean, unless you're like, want to drop some serious money.
Cash. Yeah,
because like, the caliche here, the ground is so hard.
Soil?
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. The ground's so is. Hard. They don't.
I was going to say, it would make sense to have a basement here because you think you could ditch some heat, right? Like, you'd, yeah. it'd be cooler in the basement.
But it's insanely expensive to build a dungeon or a dungeon. Basement. A dungeon.
Dungeons and Dragons? Yeah. Did you find that down there?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Dunaway Dungeon. That's where I was.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I don't know what sparked that. Good times, good memories. We're just going to catch up today. It's been a hot minute since we've all three been together on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of good guests. Any jump off the top of your mind that you just love talking to? James was really interesting.
James was a really good podcast. Like, no joke, James knows his stuff. And
yep.
you can't help but listen to that and be like, want to change your whole setup, right?
Yeah. Yeah, James is a deliberate dude, mm-hmm. is the best way I can probably put it, which is really interesting. Yeah, that was fun to have Jeff and Jake here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I would just talk. I was like, I felt kind of bad prepping for that podcast because I was like, I got a lot of questions for Jeff, obviously. But then I was like, Jake was awesome.
Jake's great.
Dude, Jake's dope.
I love Jake.
Dude, that guy was.
I remember the first time I met him, Sheep Show. I don't even remember the year. Long time ago. He's like the second I met him. I'm like, he's a stud. I like that guy.
That guy was really fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. It was fun to talk to somebody that picks apart one animal, one species, one environment like he does, which was awesome. That was really...
I agree.
It's funny because going into that, I was like, oh, we're going to talk some sheep hunting because that's what they do.
None
it's
of us
like
do.
Their speciality. Yeah. Speciality. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, sheep hunting, I don't have a sheep tag. I'll probably never have a sheep tag, which I think it's cool, but I'm not like into it. Right.
Yeah.
Man, I went away from that being like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I agree. Talking sheep with those guys was sick.
Completely agree.
Yeah. Which is super cool. Brady,
mm-hmm.
we got to hit promo, I guess, before we get rolling.
Promo code podcast. When you sign up for a Go Hunt Insider membership, you can get 50 points back in the Go Hunt gear shop.
Yep. It's
$50 you can spend on anything.
Nice.
It's application season.
You got
it. Put it inside of your pocket and draw some tags.
I'm like sitting here going, what is happening right now?
Did you like that?
Yeah, that was great.
I might be a little rusty. I just like went right in on that.
Have you been? It's been a minute since you've done a promo read, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But if you don't have one, now's the time to get one.
And we do have we have some draws. So this is going to drop on the 19th of March. So that drops, New Mexico will have just finished the day before. So the 18th is your deadline for New Mexico. Did you guys apply in New Mexico yet?
I haven't.
Either
yet,
of you?
Not yet, no.
I haven't either. I did get my unsuccessful result for Utah Bear.
I was going to ask you about
bro,
that. You're 50-50?
I fit like 50% odds. Yeah, and depending on like maybe slightly better. I was looking back historically, you know, and the number of people.
You know, if you think about it, like when you told me it was 50-50, I'm like, oh, that's such a good chance. But mm-hmm. then you really think about it and it's like, yeah, it's not that good of a chance.
It's pretty good. It's 1-2.
Better than most, but like there's still a very large chance that you're not having the tag.
I texted
either.
Lane and I was like, I tell you what, man, I cannot draw a tag unless I have max points. Like I can think in 26 years of applying, maybe like 3 tags ever. That were random, like truly random, like shock me.
Yeah.
And really only one, like one deer tag in Nevada. I was like, okay, yeah, I did something there. But you think of all the applications I put in every single year, I've got to be like one of the unluckiest applicants.
Not Porter. Dude, gosh, poor that guy.
That guy.
It's unbelievable.
Not Porter. I want to know if I die and there's something after this, I want to like dig into this and be like, what the hell was going on?
What was this?
Was there like some way that some of these people were like lucky or it was like there's some plan going on in their life that they got those tags and what the hell did I miss out on? Anyway, deadline. So April 1st, you'll have Montana coming up, elk and deer.
Yep.
You going in?
Yeah, I have to. Kinda.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
I have to too.
I have to.
Or else I'll lose my preference points.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll lose my bonus points after the draw. That's what I'm hoping for. I got a lot of them.
Are you going to if you get the one that we're talking about, I know what you're talking about. Are you going to be pumped? Or are you going to be
actually
like,
gonna, I'm actually going to be pumped because I just want to turn and burn them and I want to start over again. But I also just want to have a good hunt too.
Okay.
So like, I'm excited for it. It'd be sweet if I do
get
draw.
Get your bugle out, Brady.
What?
Your bugle tube.
What?
Yeah. So that's coming up April, like I said, April 1st. Make sure that you get your app in. And then Colorado, April 7th.
Yep.
All species. Which I have been working on Colorado application strategy the last 2 days. And Lord have mercy, there is a lot going on in Colorado.
Your eyes bleeding yet?
That's why I feel luckier in a sense, because I just have Colorado mule deer to write. You have one that has multiple species, multiple subspecies. Just a pain.
I want to know, like, why does Colorado have, I don't know, 800 units or something?
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's like, for Pete's sake. I mean, I get it from a micro, you know, like looking at it more of a macro level, like management. Mm-hmm. I get it for the state, but it is a real pain in the ass when you're looking at writing an app strategy and you're doing research and you're pulling from the rules and regs and then, you know, harvest reports and point reports.
Yeah.
Dude, their point report is disgusting.
Yeah,
it's the worst. Disgusting.
It is. Have you ever looked at it?
Yeah,
bro.
I've seen it. I've never looked at it like how you do.
Dude,
but
when
I've
you
seen
open
it.
That thing up and you just start scrolling, it's.
Do you hear the fan on your computer start spinning?
Dude, it's like, so not fun. Mm-hmm. Just, I have like many panic attacks.
Little mini ones throughout the whole
micro
process.
And it does get to a point. Like, here's an example. So yesterday I was just adding up like number of sheep tags, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got resident, you got a resident column, and then you've got a table with like, you know, non-resident and resident. Anyway, you go through them and it's like 1, 2, 3. And like, I'm going down, like counting these, you know what I mean? In the regs with a finger and I'm adding them up as I go. I bet you I counted the total like 6 different times just to make sure that I had it right, you know? But there was a time when I got to the third and I was like, as I was creeping up to the very end of the column and I had the total number. Oh yeah. Start losing it. And I'm like having a little anxiety attack, a little panic attack. I'm like, shit, if I have to do this again.
The amount of tabs and different screens I have open and different monitors to just try to do one app strategy is insane.
I know.
Then you're cross-referencing, make sure it's correct, jumping into like a Google Sheet, total it up, make sure
season
the total
dates.
Adds the other one, season dates, yeah.
Yeah, diving into like the harvest reports, like for moose yesterday, I was going through all of those and kind of like averaging out the width of the different bulls that were taken in any given unit. All that to say, like, if you're not using app strategies as part of your membership, you probably should, because I pour a lot of my heart and soul, as does Brady and everybody else that writes those.
They are a great resource.
Yeah. There's,
and it's all in one spot. Like, you can find all the other information for the most part on Insider, state profiles, filtering, draw odds, other Insider only articles. But like, this is all in one location, easy to digest. And there's a lot of added stuff on there that you don't find on the rest of the platform. Like you're saying, the bull moose stuff, or averaging out the harvest success to a different level. And like, so much in-depth stuff that's going to help you on your app, or just help learn about the draw process too, in a clean way.
Yeah, that's the spot. So dig it into it. And if you don't have a membership, use the promo code podcast. We'd appreciate that.
Yep.
Did you guys see how animated I got when I started talking about that? It's all the stress coming out of me from yesterday.
I mean, that's what I said the other day, what we were doing. We were talking about building the articles. And I was like, we should just have recorded a podcast right now where we just talked about.
Yeah, I've been on the phone with Brady a lot in the last few days.
The frustrations about building them.
I walked in to ask what time we were going to record this.
And we were talking
patiently
about
apps. Waited for about 25 minutes as you guys went
and
back and forth.
I was emotionally dumping.
We were on a rant.
It was a solid like 25 minutes before I got my question in.
Yeah. Yesterday at like 6, when I finally decided like I'm going to get up from my computer, I'm like, I'm going to go upstairs. I was like, I need a sweat and I need a shower.
did you see Morris's reaction too? When he was like sitting here, he just like stood here and listened to us talk. And he's like, you guys do a lot. I don't even know what you guys were just talking about, but I'm going to leave now.
It's like that meme when, is it Homer Simpson? He just like fades into the bush.
Yeah, into the bush. Yeah.
That's what that felt like. Anyway, what else is going on? Brady, you're getting ready to leave.
Yeah, you got a big one.
I got a big one, yeah. Heading out. Going to go to the...
You going to the Outback, mate?
The Outback.
Land
I was
going to
say it, but...
Give me your best Australian accent.
Can't.
Crikey.
Come on, you got more than that. Give me a full sentence. Like, say I'm headed out to the Outback to go hunt deer.
I'm heading out to the Outback, mate.
Love how high-pitched you got.
Yeah, I should have practiced a little bit more. But we did send over, we were sending memes back and forth from Crocodile Dundee last night with all of us who were going. And I said, I'm going to literally watch Crocodile Dundee.
I haven't watched that in a long time.
The whole flight over.
His kid is such a stud.
Yeah.
Have you seen his kid take over everything and what he's doing?
Oh, you're talking about Steve Irwin?
Yeah, his kid.
Oh, we're talking about the movie Crocodile Dundee.
Have you seen Crocodile Dundee, the movie? Like where he's like,
from the outback and he goes, right,
that's
now,
not
New
a
York.
Knife. This
yeah.
is
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Irwin.
I haven't seen that part.
Steve Irwin's kid's a stud.
Dude, he's such a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kid's awesome.
He's good. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
I think there's like two or three of them.
Yeah, for sure. But I remember watching those when I was like 8, 9, maybe something like that. Yeah.
Are you going to say what you're going down there for? Or are you keeping that?
Don't I usually say I go to Australia to hunt mule deer? Isn't that my thing? Like everyone I was asked where I hunt mule deer, I would say, oh, I go to Australia to hunt
Give
mule deer.
Give us the rundown. So, who's going? Why?
Yeah.
So I'm going with a crew. So I got myself, Drew from Tricer, Luke Dusenberry. He's going to film. He's going to hunt as well. Luke's wife's going to go do a little bit of hunting. I'm taking my girlfriend over. She's just going to sightsee and hang out and hopefully do some sightseeing with her. But most of the time, she's probably going to hang out, do some things on her own, maybe go with us on some hunts. And we just randomly got acquainted with a guy who lives over there and kind of going to show us some of the ropes, places to go. And we're just going to kind of do our thing.
Do you know this guy?
I don't personally know him, no. But gotcha. Drew does. So.
Just come through Tricer, through Drew? Is that how the kind of...
What are you hunting?
Yeah, what are you hunting?
A lot. I mean, you can
Camels?
Hunt. That's what I want to do.
I've heard a rumor you can hunt those, by the way. So, but no, we're going to be hunting mainly some of the deer species. So sambar deer, fallow deer, red deer, probably some pigs as well. So I'm just really excited for like the deer aspect because like sambar deer look really cool. Fallow deer are absolutely mind-blowing to me. Like just a gorgeous.
Fallows are awesome.
Gorgeous deer.
I love you've fallows. Killed one, right? Yeah, I love fallows. Yeah. They're so cool. So underrated.
You killed a fallow?
Mm-hmm.
Where at?
New Zealand.
New Zealand? Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have so like a cool hide too.
So
like,
cool.
Do you have it mounted somewhere?
I have the school mount.
Oh, gotcha.
Everything I shot over there, I just school mounted.
Is it hardhorn or velvet?
Hardhorned.
Is it your home?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
They're so cool, man.
Does it get like the big palm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't shoot a giant.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, you know, when you're over there, it's like Texas and it just kind of blows out the optical, what they're supposed to look like. You know what I mean? Those Texas, Oklahoma
Texas.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I shot he's cool. He's good. He's got some palm and a bunch of points up mm-hmm. top, but their behavior is so cool.
They roar?
Yeah. Like right?
I think it's croak.
They croak.
It's called croaking.
Yeah, but
it's like a roar.
It sound doesn't sound like a when you say croak, you would think a frog.
Yeah,
right?
Like
that's
a
what
bullfrog,
I think.
Yeah.
They don't sound like a bullfrog.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're cool though. Like they're aggressive. They look incredible and they're all different. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. I really like fallow deer.
Yeah, so they're just getting into the fall period right now, like early fall. So it's still fairly hot where we're going.
You talking like 90s?
No, like 76 to 80 for high, like maybe low 50s.
Like their September 40s. Kind of?
Yeah, pretty much like their September.
Like, yeah, comparable to September here?
Yeah, so like I think we're going to miss the roar and the croak.
The roar and the croak.
Yeah, but like hopefully I'll hear a little bit of it. I would love to hear
that. It doesn't compute in my mind that that's what it's called that they do.
But you're right, though. Fallow deer are super aggressive. Like I've watched so many videos of them just tearing each other up.
Dude, it was so fun. That was my most enjoyable animal to chase in New Zealand was the fallows.
Any buffalo?
I'm hoping.
Bush cattle?
Bush cattle.
Like those things are mean.
Some wild bush cattle?
They're way more mean. I was talking to a lot of people. Like those cattle will like hunt you. Like no joke. Like you don't have to watch out for water buffalo, but like the wild feral cattle thing, like they literally will hunt you.
Creepy.
But then you think of Australia as this tiny island per se,
it's
looking
at
a map, but it's giant. Like I pulled up the other day, I'm gonna pull up
gigantic.
Right now. Like
huge.
United States compared to it.
Yeah.
How big is it?
It's massive.
Like, it's
mind-boggling big for an island.
You can fit the whole thing on the United States, and it looks like it's almost a little bigger. Maybe it depends on what the little
it's
triangle
gigantic.
Portions.
Wait, you're saying it's bigger than the U.S.?
Yeah. Here's like a
Oh, yeah.
Just about the same size, but you add these little like spots in the north. Like if you take that and put it over here and put that over there, it's roughly
the same size.
Just maybe a little tiny smaller.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's an island. It's giant. It's gigantic.
Yeah, that's massive.
So just like where we're hunting, island. Then to go where the water buffalo is, it can't be that far. It's like, I looked it up, it's like 20 hours of driving.
It's crazy. It's mind-boggling big.
What's in the remote population of Australia?
Well, I think like...
Well, 90-some crazy amount live on the coast.
27.6 million?
Which is the majority of that, it's like 5 million in Melbourne, maybe around 5 million in Sydney population.
That's wild. We're at
300-something million, and it's roughly the same size.
Yeah, that's crazy. And they're at
20-something million.
That's a bunch of open space. But then
the crazier thing, too, is it's like 90... Like high 90% of the population lives on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So then you think about
all interior, this everything else open is just space. Remote.
And there's a Formula One race there right when we get there. I think it's just going to end when I land, unfortunately. So I wish I would have left a few days early. That'd be kind of cool to catch one there.
Not a big Formula One guy.
Yeah.
Dude, it's epic. I'm hooked after going to it last year.
I can't get into it either. What are you taking? Like rifle setup? So, what kind of gear do you have to take?
You remember the difficult part about me getting a rifle last year to New Zealand and me almost missing flights.
Yeah, your permit.
And how long it took me to try to get it approved. And I was constantly emailing back and forth and all that. I heard getting a rifle into Australia is like 10 times harder than New Zealand.
Yeah, they have.
It's super strict and it takes very long time.
Isn't there a ban on firearms? Yeah.
So you have to I still have to do things of like, okay, who am I knowing in New Zealand? Where's the gun going to be stored all the time? Locking it up and all that stuff. That's like way worse. And I heard you're just probably not going to get your permit unless you do it like a full year in advance. So I don't want to risk it.
So you're not taking
I'm not going to take a risk borrowing rifles from
when you get down there
from Drew's buddy. Yeah. So that's going to add a lot of easy parts of it too. But in my mind, and a psycho, and with rifles, I'm like, is this rifle actually sighted in? Is it 100 yard zero? Is it a 200 meter zero? Like what am I talking about here? Does it have a turret scope on it? Bring my chronograph.
The USA meme.
Yeah.
What's a meter?
So is it dialed? Is it a really good gun? Does it shoot really well? Is ammo a thing there? Like they have a lot of ammo. Like, am I going to have only five rounds for the entire 2 weeks? And I have to be careful because
it can 2 weeks.
Well, the whole trip, yeah, with flying, lose 2 days on the front end, 2.5 days, two and a half on the back. I don't think he gets
back to the 22nd or something.
Yeah, I think 21st.
21st.
Wow. And you leave tomorrow?
I leave on Saturday. Saturday night.
What's the gear sitch?
So it looks a lot to me like New Mexico-ish mountains or southern Utah.
Mountainous?
Mountainous.
Really?
Where we're going for some of these sandbar deer.
Do you know what your max elevation will look like?
No. I haven't dove in that far yet. But we were told to just bring normal hunting gear, but also bring backpacking gear. So that's adding a whole new spin on it. So backpacking tents. And obviously, you have to have a completely enclosed tent.
Yeah,
I'm going to the place with the most deadly, dangerous, whatever snakes in the world.
And spiders and everything. Yeah, everything. The most deadly everything.
Everything.
So I was waiting to ask you about that. Have you thought through that or nervous about everything that bites, stings? Yeah.
So I kept asking
crazy stuff out
Drew
there.
Multiple times. Hey, ask your buddy about snake gators. Ask about snake gators. At one point he's like, no, you don't need them. But I was watching a bunch of videos where guys are just casually hunting and also oh, there's a brown snake. I'm like, brown snakes are super deadly. And so, Andrew from Yeti.
Yeah.
So I was at
Hunt Expo. Eastern coast then?
I won't tell you where.
Well, I already know. Yeah. I just did the math on it.
So I was talking to Andrew from Yeti at Hunt Expo, and I was like, you've been there before. What's it like what happens if you get bitten by a brown snake? He's like, here's what I was told. If you get bitten by a brown snake, call your family.
You're done.
Because that's the last phone call you're going to make, because 45 minutes later, you're going to be dead.
Oh, boy.
Because for the most part, you probably will last a little bit longer, but to try to get a helicopter to you to then get you to a place where there's actually population.
Yeah.
And it's they're super, super deadly. And so I spent the other night, I bought, it was $205 for these super fancy snake gators.
So you are bringing some.
Yeah.
I would.
But the nice thing about these snake gators too, they're like a frog ammo or frog skin, something or whatever. I can't remember what the company's name is, but they're super lightweight. They only weigh 6 ounces. So they're not like the snake gators that are giant and burly and add a bunch of extra heat on your leg.
Oh, I like this. It says the initial bite's generally painless and often difficult to detect.
Sounds great.
How long do you say you have to live?
I don't see that right here off the top. If I do see it, I'll note it here in a minute. It says it's they don't deliver a lot of by volume as far as venom goes, but the potency of it's pretty.
Here we go.
Pretty gnarly.
Brown snake bite time to death. Eastern brown snake. Its venom contains a mix of neurotoxins and coagulants, making it particularly dangerous. Immediate medical attention is critical, as untreated bites can lead to death in under 30 minutes.
There you go.
So Australia has 20 of the world's 25 most venomous snakes.
What?
20 of 25. Hold on.
That's a hard no.
So the inland taipan, however you say that, mm-hmm. often called the most venomous snake on Earth, luckily very shy and rarely seen. Eastern brown snake, responsible for most snake bite deaths in Australia because it lives near farms in open country, in suburbs, the open country around the suburbs. Tiger snake, common in southern Australia in wetlands. So if I'm duck hunting down there, it's a problem. And then coastal taipan. This is my favorite, you know,
your favorite
information
one?
On one. Extremely fast in all caps and highly venomous.
Oh, great. What a combo.
Coastal taipan. Extremely fast in caps.
Dude, and highly venomous. None of these have rattles. None of them have any kind of warning signal that they're going to give you.
Australia also has several medically significant spiders. You like that? How they
medically significant
spiders. Sydney funnel web spider, redback spider, and mouse spider.
So basically, I'm going to go over there in like one of those little bubble box things and just like try to hike around on that so nothing can attack me.
Dude, venomous snakes have some sick names. Like if you look at this one, the lowland copperhead. The mainland tiger snake, the red-bellied black snake, small-eyed snake. I get some great names for these venomous snakes.
Inland taipan?
Yeah, coastal taipan.
Oh, here's
the guadar, G-W-A-R-D, guadar.
So yeah, that's where I'm pretty nervous about.
These animals are not deadly, but are extremely unpleasant, and you would want to avoid. A bulldog ant...
Ooh. Oh, God.
Very aggressive with a painful sting.
I kind of hope you get bit by a bulldog ant.
Very, very aggressive. An ant that's very aggressive. Painful sting. Australian paralysis tick.
Oh.
That doesn't sound good.
No.
Paralysis tick?
Yeah, can cause paralysis.
Paralysis.
March fly bites hard and draws blood. Australian funnel web spider. Oh, so, that way I already said that one. That one's venomous.
So this is right now is making me realize why everyone lives along the coast, maybe. Because you go in, it's like the Jurassic Park thing, don't go in the tall grass. Because like that's where the velociraptors are. And this is where all the deadly things are. Is
the way you want the an coast. Interesting fact?
What's that?
Even though Australia has so many dangerous and venomous animals, more people there die each year from horses, cows, and bees. Then they
bees. Oh, these other bees. Ones.
They have murder hornets?
Apparently.
Death bees.
This is... Australia's nuts, dude.
I hope you get bit by a bullet ant. Or not a bullet.
Bulldog ant.
A bulldog ant. That'd be a good one.
Mm. Yeah.
Not the thing, that, like, you read through that, not only are they dangerous animals. They, like everything about them is extremely fast in all caps and very aggressive. So, I mean, that just doesn't...
I don't like snakes.
Me either, man. Don't like it.
Yeah, so it's going to be wild.
So you got a shelter that you can climb in at least.
I still haven't found my poles yet.
Uh-oh.
And so...
You got to take a freestanding tent?
Yeah.
You need the poles for the freestanding tent. Gotcha.
Yeah.
It has to be fully enclosed.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out
like must have. That's what that guy said. Fully enclosed.
Fully enclosed. So no teepee.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. You don't want to be in a floor of shelter. It sounds like
so we were talking about trying to rent this cabin, which I think we might have done already, and maybe just come back and stay in this cabin. But we're bringing backpacking stuff just in case. So it's a lot of gear to bring over. And then the difficult part about this is, speaking of spiders, snakes, and everything else that bites you at night and during the day. I have a marathon March 28th. And so while I leave here, I'm still going to have to try to get my runs in somehow at night after the hunt. And now I'm like thinking about this deadly shit that's over here.
Let's be realistic here. How committed are we to getting our runs in when we're Australia hunting?
I still want to because I was in peak for a while. Then I hurt my ankle and took 3 weeks off. So it set me back. But now I'm like back to prime condition again. And now I'm gone for 2 weeks and I get back and literally 6 days later is my marathon. So I am literally screwed for my marathon. It's supposed to be my peak finish. Yeah. But I'm not going to get my time.
You'll finish.
And I want to still run, but also I have to hang out with my girlfriend. Also I have to hang out with everyone at hunt camp, try to figure out a way to run.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but bro, if that's me, my running shoes are still in my closet when I leave.
Here.
Yeah, they're staying here.
I mean, there's marathons are a dime a dozen.
I know. And then to run at night too. Like how safe is that?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No.
Like I would not run at night in Australia.
Yeah.
Absolute hard no.
Try to run inside the little cabin. Just do like circles in the room.
Just run around the cabin.
Just run around it on the inside.
Like, there's no chance I'm running at night in Australia.
You get attacked by a kangaroo.
Not out in the open.
Fight a kangaroo. What's the talk on the roos out there?
Yeah, like what's the conversation on roo harvest?
Yeah, like what's the info?
Honestly, I haven't asked. I think they're like an invasion. Aren't they like pretty?
I don't know.
It's like a problem now. There's like too many of them.
I don't know. You see stuff on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's real or not.
What's the process of permits, licenses, that kind of thing?
I had to buy a hunting license.
You did.
I had to go through and do that. Yeah. It was $90 or something like
that's
that.
That's it?
I think so. Yeah. Wasn't bad.
And then you
have to buy a hunting license, and it's for like, they call it like deer stalking. So our version right now is just the deer stalking license, which is, there's also deer dogs, I think. You can hunt with dogs. I think that was the other portion. But obviously, we just did the stalking side of it.
That is something I want to experience in the U.S. Like Clay, our film guy, Clay Bean.
Yeah.
He hunts with a group of guys. They do that dog push thing.
Is that North Carolina?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember. I think it's North Carolina.
It's funny. Anytime
it'd just be so cool to experience.
Anytime I talk to him about that, he always like downplays it. He's like, yeah, it's like.
Well, he's done it so many times.
I know, and I get that, but I'm like from the outside looking in.
I want to go see it.
That would be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, it's kind of boring. You just sit, you know, and they cut the dogs loose. And they have a ton of dogs. I think he said his uncle's got 20 some.
But then he explains it. He's like, you hear it faint.
Yeah.
And then you hear it like getting closer.
That sounds awesome. Closer.
It just sounds awesome.
It does sound fun. I agree.
I would want to do it.
What are you looking at, Brady?
Kangaroos and killing them. I mean, like it does say that
the human roo encounter situation.
Australian government permits license holders to cull or shoot kangaroos, but this is mainly like for farmers and stuff like that. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out.
Imagine coming around a corner and there's just
giant kangaroo
one standing there.
Oh yeah, that's
oh shit,
that's a legit alien. It yeah, looks so like, weird. Thing I'm like my first exposure to Australia is like you'll have Mormon missionaries that get called to Australia, right? And then when I was a little kid, they would come back home. And I remember like you'd see them in church on a Sunday and they would all inevitably, every one of them. I never knew a missionary that went to Australia that didn't come home with a kangaroo scripture cover.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like the hide tanned, you know, and it was like built into like a scripture cover. Every one of them had it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's the dopest thing ever.
Gotta have one of those.
Gotta have one. I never did get one, but.
Here's an article I just found.
Where'd you go again?
London.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah, no,
right. I
no,
don't even know why I
no,
just asked
no
that.
Killing,
I'm a little slow today
no,
from
no,
my
no
last
killing
travels.
Things in London. Yeah, no scripture covers for me.
So there is legal.
Skateboard, though.
Yeah.
There is legal culling of kangaroos in Australia. Under government programs, licensed hunters earn a fee for each kilogram of kangaroo and carcasses that are processed for meat, skin, and hides. For export to around 70 countries, an industry worth $133 million in Damn. U.S. dollars each year, according to Kangaroo Industry Association of Australia.
So you gonna go out and dine on some kangaroo one night?
I think it'd be really fun to.
I think you have to.
Yeah, try to eat some of those.
I'd for sure. Do
oh, that. And in this 2023 article here, it says there are roughly 36.5 million of the kangaroos and wallaroos subject to population control in the 5 states allow commercial harvesting.
There's more kangaroos than people, though.
Yeah. This year, quotas in the states allow around 5 million to be killed.
Hmm. Wow.
Annual quotas have not been met, too, in recent years, and they're roughly only taking 4% of the total population.
Just ask real quick when the kangaroo mating season is.
Are you worried he's going to get bred by a kangaroo?
So I typed into AI, is there any concerning data around human and kangaroo interactions? It says, yes, there is some very concerning data.
They can breed all year, it says,
okay,
and several times.
Male kangaroos during mating season seems to be a large human encounter risk.
They get aggressive.
Yeah.
It's probably where that one was.
It's very few are fatal, but like there's interaction for sure.
That meme with that kangaroo that has the guy's dog in a headlock and he runs out and punches it. Brady, I hope you get a chance to defend your honor from a kangaroo.
Oh, car crash. The real problem. Kangaroos and car crashes. Ooh, that's really? The real. Yep. This is the real problem.
I bet that is a bad one.
Yeah.
You looking forward to it?
Honestly, yeah, a lot. I've been looking forward to it quite a while. I can't believe it's here.
What's the travel down there like?
I think it's like 18 hours of flying.
No way. That's far.
Yeah.
Dude, how many people did it say were in Australia?
29.
Okay. Well, there's upwards of 50 million kangaroos.
Yeah. Like more than double, almost double.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember what I said, but I wanted to say it was like 29 million, something like that.
Yeah,
the one article
right here says 45 million in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
So
a while ago, 10 years ago. Yeah,
that was a Smithsonian article.
Did you know that? Did you realize that? There's that many more. It's like Wyoming with antelope.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Yeah, like double the kangaroos to people.
Yeah.
Huh.
Crazy.
What's your travel plan? Like, you got 18 hours of flight time. What are you doing?
I'm going to be working on app strategies.
Oh, you are?
I've tried to wrap up a few things.
Nice.
That's what I kept telling you the other day. It's like, I can handle some stuff on the flight.
Well, in that case.
In that case, you just passed off to me. But no, I just got a bunch of books I'm going to read. I got some Kindle stuff I want to read on my Kindle, some hard copy books. And probably going to download some crazy shows.
How long's the flight?
I think like 18 hours.
Yeah. Long. Real long.
Yeah.
Girlfriend excited?
Yeah, she's stoked for it.
She ever been there before?
No, this will be the longest flight she's ever been on too. So she's really nervous about the flight side of it. Just like stuck in a plane for that long, having to get up and walk around. And the problem is too, like she's hanging out with me you guys all know I could fall asleep on this table right now in 2 seconds if I want to. She's like, she has a very hard time falling asleep and I can just go to bed whenever. So I told her the other day, I was like, oh, I'm going to go for a 13 mile run on Saturday morning so I can be tired for the flight that night. And she's like, shut up. Like, you can fall asleep even if you didn't do that run. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Mm.
Navy SEAL tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jet lag will probably be a mother, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone I've ever talked to who's been there, they say that's like the worst one. From what I recall.
Ugh.
Do you have to go through the whole customs things where you dump all your gear out, make sure it's all clean?
Boots? Pretty strict too. So, like, I already cleaned her boots off, got all the seeds and dirt and everything, and grabbed her a brand new pair of gators. Obviously, I have the snake gators. I'll be actually going out hunting and just going through my tent, making sure nothing's in there.
Can you tell me what airport you're flying into? No?
I guess not.
Okay.
I'll type it to you.
I don't.
Because if it's that big, they've got to have massive time zone differences too, right? Okay. What's the time and date there? Friday, 6 a.m. right now?
I think it's Friday, right? Yeah, 6 a.m. right there.
It's tomorrow morning?
Yeah. It's wild.
Ooh, that sounds gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jet lag. We'll get you.
I'm just coming back from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. You thought that was
last
bad?
Night.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like those 3 hours, it doesn't, you like leaving here and planning the trip to go back there, you know, with my son, it's like you don't think much of it. 3 hours is like a major difference.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing a kid off their routine, like parents, that's only 3 hours.
Plus the travel, just and then travel. Time, travel just sucks. Be in the airport, all the time it takes.
Like I'm in the clouds today.
Yeah.
And that's a 3 hour difference.
It might take you a full day once you get there to kind of get your feet under you.
Yeah. And I have to try to go running too.
Yeah, I guess.
So we're flying in separately from the other guys. So we're going to get there a couple. Because of travel, like a couple of days after them. And then we're renting a car ourselves and driving all the way over where we're going.
And you drive on the other side of the road?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that'll be fun for you.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to make a...
My girlfriend's
already volunteered to do it.
Right turns are the problem there. Like our left turns where you got to cross traffic. That's their right turns.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing...
Making sure you don't go into that... The lane, you have to go across the lane.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll tell you is you don't have as much room on the offside as you think you do. Mm. Like because you get used to driving like we drive and your spatial awareness is pretty dialed in.
Yeah.
You flip that to the other side of the car and now you're driving, like your sense of how much room you have on the left side of the vehicle now, you're gonna blow by some cars and your girlfriend's gonna be in the passenger seat and she's gonna be like, dude, you were like 2 inches from that car.
I think she's gonna drive.
Oh.
Boy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, boy.
She definitely wants to take the wheels.
Yeah. Wild.
So hoping we're gonna see.
Just tell her hug that line a lot closer than you think.
Hug the center line or the left line?
So if you're driving on the other side, it would be the right line. It'll be the driver's side of the line.
Yeah, driver's side line. Yeah. So the center line.
I just remember when I first got to London, like you could always tell. You'd get a new guy that hadn't driven that much over there on the other side. You'd hop in the car and you're in the passenger seat and you're flying down the road. Like the cars coming the opposite direction are literally like 3 or 4 inches off your mirror. Like you're almost clipping mirrors. Mm. Your spatial awareness is.
Yeah, I can see it.
Not
yeah.
right. Ugh. There's a lot of moments where you're like, oh shit, get over. Yeah. Well, that's fun. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is you got a mount coming home.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. We got the news this morning.
Yeah. So I've been creeping on their social for the longest time. Every time they post a video, I've been looking in the background like, is that my Marco Polo? I see like a little sheep horn curled up like laying on the ground. I'm like, is that mine? And I hit them up yesterday because I saw Marco's like, it's one of those mine in the background. And then I sent him an email and then they actually posted the video.
So go back. Where is this mount?
Yeah, to go back all the way to 2022, I didn't want to keep my Marco Polo in Tajikistan the entire time. I was nervous about sitting there. So we can't, at the time, you cannot import a Marco Polo from Tajikistan to the United States. The United States are just doing some weird battle stuff like they always do, like an export permits and import permits, a struggle. So instead of keeping it over there, we thought it'd be best to get it in North America at least. And that way it would be at a taxidermist already in the process of getting mounted. So once we got our paperwork approved that we can import it to the United States, it'd be a lot quicker. Because I didn't get my import paperwork approved from the United States Fish and Wildlife until about 6 months ago. So I actually have the paperwork right now. So like my ram could be at my house right now. But we figured if I did do it that way and it shipped then from Tajikistan or whatever right now, I'd still be waiting probably 6 months for it to ship here. So maybe I would just get it now. And now I would have to go to a taxidermist and wait a year and a half, 2 years to get mounted. And so we wanted to speed that process up. So we mailed, and again, all the crate costs and everything of Marco Polo from Tajikistan to Canada.
What was that process? Was it?
Just brutal.
Was it to get it into Canada?
Just to get in Canada.
To taxidermists?
Like, yeah. I mean, in a way you're just like, because I also had my wolf, and supposedly the wolf couldn't go with my Marco for some stupid reason. So I had to double crate
that's
things.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Because the wolf could go right here. But it took a while too for that import to get okayed. So like it couldn't go with the Marco Polo, which would have saved on the shipping and the crating fee. So I was screwed over there and had to pay basically double for two different animals. And then it went to Advanced Taxidermy in Ontario, Canada, because Canada doesn't have any regulations against importing it in there. So it's been in Ontario since about, I don't know, mid to late 2023.
And that's cape and horns?
Yep. I'm getting a full body mount.
Oh.
So it's been there the whole time. Pricey. And then we...
What's the price tag on that bad dog?
It's not cheap.
Are we
taking loans out or...
Are we above or beyond like 6K?
Above.
Oh!
I believe.
Ouch.
That's a stinger.
I won't say exact. Yeah. I hope my girlfriend doesn't listen to this.
That's a real stinger.
Yeah.
Why, it's your money. You're your own man, Brady.
I am. So, yeah. So, I finally got the tease today that they're like, oh, by the way, that's why you haven't been seeing it in the videos we've been posting of other mounts, because your ram's actually been sitting in the showroom. And it's all completed right now. And they're just waiting for my dad's ram to be done as well. His should be done this week. And so, I got to see it today. And I literally almost cried when I, like, pulled up my Instagram and pulled up Facebook.
It looks so good.
And
what's the width on that thing? Like far as the horns, like how far out do they flare?
It's 40. I think it's 40 some inches. 40
from tip to tip.
That's pretty wide.
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now. I have it in my notes.
Yeah, that's wide. It's gonna take some space. Where are you putting this thing?
Do you guys see that Argali at the Hunt Expo? I can't remember the guy's name. New world record Argali. I mean, just unbelievable.
I didn't see it.
Unbelievable. So it was right outside of the front entrance.
Where do they
like? I don't know.
Are they like
Genghis Khan?
Nepal?
No, Genghis Khan. Where was he from?
I should know this.
Well, I mean, I'm so slow today.
You and me both.
Where's Genghis Khan from?
No clue.
Asian steppe. God, what is that? It's not Nepal.
No.
What am I thinking? We probably both sound incredibly dumb and slow right now, but that's okay.
Do you want me to jump over to what mine?
Yeah, keep going.
So my Marco Polo is 40 3/4 inches wide from tip to tip on the horns, 55 inches long on one horn.
Holy shit.
16 1/4 base and 10 1/2
Mongolia.
Mongolia. The Mongols. Yeah. Genghis Khan and the Mongols. Yeah, Mongols. The dumbest guy on planet Mongolia. Earth right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where.
Anyway.
So yeah, super big and it's full body and I have it like coming down a rock face mm-hmm. on a bunch of snow. Cause I wanted the horns and the head more like eye level. I didn't want to like climbing up onto something. So like the horns are way above you when it's going to be on the ground mm-hmm. mounted. So it's a floor mount.
Is it on wheels?
Yeah.
You can cart it around then, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, just looking at it, I'm like watching it right now as we're going through this.
It does look so good. Whoever did that.
Can you? I'm trying to think getting this into a room.
I know.
What's the process for
Can
that?
Can you take the horns
the
off?
The horns
Is
off?
It like the detach how they do on elk?
I'm going to have to ask him all that stuff. Like,
I wouldn't think you could because you got to hide over the
actually,
skull,
yeah.
right?
Because yeah, that wouldn't work. I'm assuming it all has to pop off. Because this base, I'm looking at the base earlier, and I was like, I don't know if that can fit through a 36-inch wide door.
They got to have it figured out.
So like, I wonder if it pops off, you slide it off, and you could turn the habitat to the side, slide it in, and then bring the Marco full body in there, and then put it back on there.
Damn.
Because I want it in my office. I don't trust anywhere else in this office, because there's dogs and kids. And
I don't think you got room
You don't trust my kid? I wouldn't either. I would not either.
I can't wait till I come in sometime and Brady's off doing something and Turtle's in there on that thing's back, just like sitting on
painting
it.
Painting its nails. Right. Sitting on its back.
It was crazy.
Got horns in his hand, like handlebars on a motorcycle.
Because like it has to be shipped to me because like my export or import permit expires to get it over here like middle to late April. So it has to be shipped before then, but it's done now. So I think it's actually going to show up potentially when I'm in Australia. It could be here. Or a few days after, yeah.
And then what? You're just going to have it shipped here?
Yeah.
You have the guys in the warehouse unload that
It's going to be in a giant crate, like a huge freaking crate. And so, like, again, I'm going to have to pay... I already had to pay a re-export fee from Canada down to here. There's probably going to be other fees on top of that. Crating fee. All sorts of just random
stuff. So insane.
Like we were talking earlier, like, the thing you figure out when you go on one of these international hunts is you're constantly paying for things. Like, I constantly, even after, like, when I try to get my wolf over here... And it was sitting at like somewhere for a little bit. Like, oh, now it was sitting in whatever airport thing for 2 nights and we're going to charge you for that. Yeah. And oh, now the United States Department of Agriculture has to inspect it and our people had to drive over there. So you have to pay for their time. Yeah. So now here's another $300 fee
on top
of everything else. It's like that's constantly just adds up. I haven't killed
anything other than New Zealand internationally and I just ship back skulls and there's no issues with that. But like everyone I've talked to on this big international stuff, it's just everything you think is what the budget is. You get caught at every corner with like another fee.
Yeah.
It's been a very common theme I've heard.
Worth it?
100%. Yeah. 100%. I mean, the hard part is like I've had my IBEX back forever because we could fly that back on the plane from Tajikistan.
Yeah. That's the weirdest to me though. It's like that can just come straight.
Yeah.
Because it's a different...
It's a goat.
It's a different goat species. Yeah, different sheep species. CITES permit thing. And
but if you have the permit from
it was legal,
the place you are, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you have their permit, whether they call it a territory or whatever, I don't know what they call it over there. But if you have that paperwork and it comes into the States, like obviously you didn't kill that anywhere in... North America. You know what I mean?
Texas.
So like, Texas. Which is no paperwork.
And it's 100% legal there. They have the right permit. The government okays you to kill this X number of Marcos per year. It's
and
all
you
done.
Have
it's all
their paperwork.
It's all
that
science.
Says you're
biologists.
Like what is
the... And then the U.S. is just trying to fight against it. It's just like
clearly you didn't kill that here or like import it.
Sounds like a major pain, but pretty cool to finally see it come to fruition.
So,
how many years has it been?
Since 2022, so it's 4 years now.
Four years.
You haven't seen your ram in 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
Wow.
So wild.
And this is like the first, like I asked them earlier, like, hey, can you guys just send me a picture of my RAM? I want to make sure it's my RAM.
Yeah.
Like you trust everyone from Tajikistan to like
BM.
Yeah. Like it's kind of like
the horn. Do they plug those sheep?
No.
They don't?
Mm-mm. They don't plug sheep anymore.
They do everywhere in the US.
No, they do not. What? It's a voluntary thing in a lot of places now. Like Wild Sheep Foundation just wants to do it. It's literally not required in some places to get it plugged. And people are like going against it a little bit because like it's a cool thing to get your sheep plugged.
Really?
It's not required.
I mean, I killed mine.
There's certain states, that do it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to fact check that.
I killed mine in 2012. And so long ago.
Did they plug it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, same with Utah. They always plugged them. We plugged tons of them every time.
It was mandatory within 3 days of harvest to go to.
You have to come in and have it scored. They measure everything.
Like straight mandatory. Age and it was kind of an issue because of where my tag was and where the closest place was. And I killed it on, like I had to beat feet out of there before the weekend because then it would have been over the 3 days if it hit the weekend.
Right here, Trail, your state of Utah no longer plugs sheep as of 2020, beginning in 2023. The UDWR will no longer require or administer the horn plugging program, recognizing the value the horn plugging provides, blah, blah, blah.
I had some real nervous moments when people come in to have their sheep plugged because you have to drill that out. It's this bit, right? So it drills like a core and then almost like a countersunk wider bit that plugged it. And then the plug itself was like aluminum. So when you pounded that thing in, you pounded it in with a rubber mallet. If you accidentally got it in on an angle a little bit and you broke off the bottom portion of that plug in the bottom hole, you were SOL. Because then you had like a chunk of it broke off in the very bottom and you couldn't countersink the rest of it. So you'd have to kind of finagle it and make it work. But I saw dudes like sweating bullets because I mean, somebody's sheep, right? Yeah. They've waited their whole entire life. It's a once in a lifetime tag.
And the plug is cool. It's like,
awesome.
It's cool. I mean, granted, it was a headache to get there in time when I killed mine. Like, and it was a long ways away.
We had our maintenance guy, Todd Nebaker. Shout out Todd Nebaker. He was like the guy that plugged most of them. And he just was like a pro at it. He'd roll in there. Drill, no biggie. Pound that plug in. Yeah, great mustache.
That's awesome.
So here's the rest of my statement because I was opening up the article and I said, blah, blah, blah. Recognizing the value that horn plugging provides to the hunting community, the Utah Wild Sheep Foundation has stepped in to ensure the service remains available. So now it's a volunteer-based horn plugging program. If you want to get yours done, the Utah Wild Sheep Foundation has stepped in to ensure it kind of continues, but UDWR is no longer requiring it.
I wonder what.
If you drew a tag, would you have it plugged?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I feel like it's like...
it's been just a cool thing.
It's a rite of passage, yeah. I feel
it
like.
It is a rite of passage. And it's for the species itself, too, to get the information from that ram. The the health.
I bet you still...
All the other stuff that goes into that checking in a sheep.
I would think you would probably still have to do a harvest survey. I would think they would probably still have you come in and check it, I would think. Measure it.
Yeah, but are you going to trust some guy's aging ability on a ram, like the 4th-year-old false ring? Are they going to know all this stuff?
Yeah,
like that, you're probably not going to get the real age.
That's
on
kind
them.
Of a bummer. I'm kind of bummed out. I kind of like the plug.
Yeah, here's I'm on the UDWR site right now. This is article published March 29th, 2024, and it says right here, removing the requirement to plug bighorn sheep to make it easier for hunters, and because the needed harvest data can be collected electronically.
Hmm. Yeah, but from the hunter itself.
Crazy.
But yeah, like you're saying though, they could F it up and break something off. Or what if they put it in the exact spot where that quarter measurement is taken?
It
sticks up a little bit. Now all of a sudden Boone and Crocker's like, we can't technically measure it because your plug is at an angle.
You have to pick the spot. I remember that. They'd come in, you'd like offer them some ideas and you kind of measure it out width-wise and try to center it up.
I can't believe you tried to fact check me.
Why? That's a good question.
You fact check me when I talk about the California drought.
Yeah.
Just California is always dry.
That just seems strange common to me. I thought they were always going to continue that to
me. I feel great that I knew something that you didn't know about.
About Utah. That's good.
Wild.
I'll be dipped.
But yeah, so
I'll be dipped.
There's a warning right now, Lorenzo. I'll say it right now. When that ram shows up here and I get it uncrated, the rest of that day and probably the next day, I'm just going to be staring at it.
Yeah, I already know that.
I
don't fault you for it.
I was actually going to bring that up. Like when they bring that whole thing, we have to make sure that we film this uncrating.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it would be pretty cool.
It sounds dramatic.
Because that's why for the longest time, like I was saying earlier, before we got long story, like I wanted to see a picture of it in a freezer. I wanted to make sure it's mine. Like I've looked at my harvest photos so often, I can tell it's like when you have a I've never had a baby, but maybe Omar can tell me when you had a baby, you instantly would know that's your baby. And you look at it in a different room, like, oh, that's my kid. I know exactly.
Well, everything Omar about definitely it. Knows his baby.
Yeah.
It's like, it's baby Omar.
Instantly, when I saw that video today, I saw his right horn and he has a little like loop part coming up where it's chipped. And I instantly went to my harvest photos, like, that's got to be there. And I was like, okay, it is there. Those are my exact horns. I made sure instantly this morning that they work. It's the first actual video I've seen.
Did you take a bunch of detailed photos of the horns when you were there?
I kind of blacked out, but I have some photos. I didn't take as many photos as I should. I feel like a complete asshole. Like, I just stopped taking photos because I was like soaking in the moment. And
would it be mean if every time Lorenzo and I walk by and we look at it, we go, it just doesn't quite look like your photos?
Probably something you would do, like when I shot the odd dad. You're like, oh, this one looks a little low, right, Brady. So I'm like, odd dad's dead.
I might do that every now and then when I see it. God, this doesn't look like the photos, man. It just looks, something just not right about it. It just doesn't look like the same harvest photo.
And like my hide, like, is a dark cape on it, which I really like too. And this is the dark cape. And I still have to dissect the cape a little bit more to make sure it's my cape. But
do you really think that when they uncrate this, you're going to cry?
Yeah.
Do you really?
I guarantee I will. I'll cry for sure. It means so much to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm not. Like, it's a once in a lifetime hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the craziest thing ever to say I've hunted Marco Polo sheep. And it's my first sheep. Yeah. Marco Polo.
Like, pretty cool.
It's wild. Like, look at him right now.
So, yep. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Best thing you have going for you, though, is the most trustworthy person on planet Earth is here. So I would put this in the hands of Scott Christensen.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Make sure that crate doesn't get open and it sits right there. And no one, if someone like runs into with a forklift as they're doing it, I'm going to pull security footage, just like I pulled security footage when they broke my mount. The guys were hanging those wires up.
Yeah.
Broke that big giant deer. So,
I mean, it would be kind of fun if you uncrated it and you just get first look and I'm just sitting there on its back.
So how'd you get inside the crate?
With a cowboy hat.
With a cowboy hat.
That'd be pretty great.
Yeah.
I don't know that you'd forgive me for that one.
That'd be pretty funny.
Well, that's cool, man. We're looking forward to looking at it.
And the stories of Australia.
Story, for sure. Mm-hmm. I had a couple other things I wanted to cover today. So we had Marchery Madness.
Yep.
How'd it go for you guys?
I should have practiced more, obviously. I just picked up my bow that week.
Yeah.
I had this whole unretiring speech I gave. And
I thought it was really fun. The reason I wanted to bring it up was just a couple questions. So one, I just wanted to thank everybody that came out. Like, it was cool that people took time out of their day. And like, you guys showed up at anywhere from 4 to 5 and you guys stayed the whole night. I think we finally wrapped shooting at like 9:15. Mm-hmm. So you guys were the whole time. So we did a team shoot and then we did the individual shoot. And it was fun to see the level of shootings definitely stepped up.
Like, it was the level of shooting. I didn't shoot this year.
Mm-hmm.
I had my kid at football practice and too much going, and I don't want to hold anything up getting here late. But when I showed up, the level of shooting was noticeably different this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, I wondered if people had watched like previous year, kind of understood the format for it and been practicing a little bit for it. But yeah, they definitely, I think last year, like the 40-yard iron buck, I think at that point we'd pretty well cleared out everybody but 4 people.
Yeah.
This year, I think we had 16 that cleared that. And then I think we had 6 that cleared 50.
Mm-hmm.
And we took 6 people to like that final round where they ended up shooting 40, 50, 60. And the guy that ended up wanting it had 2 12s. I think he actually had 2 12s at 50 and 60.
Yeah, he did.
He was shooting
He had a 10 at 40 and then went 50, 60, 12 rings.
Yeah, he crushed. It was awesome. The level of shooting was super cool.
And what I thought was cool too is some of the people that were shooting, they had read some of the comments we always get on YouTube and social about like, oh, this is just 20, 30 yards at a steal and you guys are missing. You should never be hunting and all that stuff. It's just so easy. And they were like, it's a lot harder to shoot at 20 and 30 yards at steel with all the lights, all the cameras, all these people
and
here.
And 4 deep when it's not very wide.
Yeah, and like, the lanes are super small. It's like, it's intimidating to shoot this shot, even though it's like a, whatever that is, a 4-inch circle at 20, to be able to stack it in there.
Yeah, 3 or 4. I can't remember how big it is.
I think it's three, right? I think it's 3.
It's a hole. Like, I should have made it at 20. I whiffed at 20.
I did too.
Yeah, I stepped up there and was like, man.
You shot it this year?
Yeah, I kind of. You could say I did.
Yeah.
I didn't really even know where my bow was until my time came up. But I don't want to make excuses because I just flat whiffed. But I was thinking about it. as I was driving down today, I was like, God, what happened there, you know? And like, I couldn't honestly tell you because I don't remember. All I did was draw my bow back, kind of put the pen a little somewhere in the middle and just sent it and was like going back to, you know, going back, back to
MC and the whole thing.
To MC and being a host. But it did make me think like what the actual hell, like how do you do well at something like that? This is a question I wanted to ask you, and this would go to rifle shooting as well. But what do you consider, like, what would you say the definition of a good shot is?
Completely focused throughout the entire process and not let any other thoughts get in your head. Like, you are just there for one task and you just, your goal is to accomplish that task. And I kept telling Bones that in a way. I was like, he's like getting frustrated towards the end a little bit, but I was like, just realize right now, Bones, the mental strength you just went through to do 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, all the way back, and you were crushed it every single time.
You were coaching Bones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to shout out Bones and Jordan.
Yeah.
They both, Bones and Jordan, they shot phenomenal. Amazing.
Yeah, they did well.
Specifically Bones. Bones made it to the final.
Yeah, he did. And I was like, Bones, no matter what happens here, just think of all those perfect arrows. You had so much going against you every single shot because there's lights, there's cameras, there's all this stuff going on, competition. You're amped up. And you calmed yourself down and made a perfect shot. Now put that in a hunting situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to be really good this year.
Yeah.
Like, keep shooting that way. Like, there's a lot that goes into your head and just like executing that perfect shot. You don't get a warm up in hunting, and you really didn't get warm ups here. You just jump the line and shoot.
I gotta apologize to Bones. At one point, we were there in the final, right? And I said, "All right, who do I have left?" And he goes, "I haven't shot." And I was like, "Well, yeah, like Bones. What do you?
I remember that."
And he's like, "No, I'm in." And I was like, "No, you're not." And he's like, "Yeah, I am. I'm in." And I was like, "Oh yeah, you're right. You were in. I remember that."
Yeah.
So and then he rolled him in. Yeah,
the
and
only
he
one
crushed.
To 12 ring.
He shot awesome.
The first
shot in the final.
On the finals.
Yeah, he shot so good.
Yeah,
he did really shoot good.
Yeah, did really well.
Yeah, the I thing
think a ahead. Perfect shot is total control, in my opinion. Just control all the way through.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up, so when I did a little Google search, like and the kind of definition was like the ability to be accurate under pressure, right?
Yeah.
So under that format or like that definition of it, I was thinking, because I've always said like I'm a good shot, I'm not a great shot. So now I think I gotta like bump it down, like I'm not a good shot because I definitely didn't perform under pressure. It's so funny because like I was telling Brady, I went to my local range maybe 3 days prior to that and shot one of the best rounds that I've shot in probably 4 years, like 4 arrows per in, shooting the bottom half of the range, shot great, came out of that just feeling so awesome. It was just like me and the dog, you know. And I think I have to eat crow. Like, I'm not a good shot. I'm a bad shot because I didn't deliver under pressure.
Under pressure. So that is the definition?
That's what I read today. I mean, that's what it says.
I mean, you could find so many different definitions you can throw in there too about how to and what it means to execute a perfect shot.
That's the funny thing about, like, if you ask yourself, and you, if I'm real with myself, like, if I consider, am I a good shot? I'm a pretty good shot when I'm by myself with my dog and there's no pressure.
Yeah.
Am I a good shot when I go to a competitive shoot? So far, I haven't shown it. So I guess I can't really say I'm a good shot.
How do you think it relates doing this to a hunting situation with your bow? Well, do you think that a bow hunt is easier than this, or this is harder?
So driving home that night, I was thinking about it and I thought, I would rather... It's easier for me to shoot an animal now than it is to shoot an iron buck with all the people and
like unquestionably
my duties of that night to like MC and host and all the work going up to it. Way easier to shoot an elk than it is to shoot that shoot. Hmm. Yeah, it is. And there's something to be said just like when you're out there in your woods, it's just you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I've done that one enough. That's why I think guys that are really good competitive shooters, I think they must, and I don't know, it'd be interesting to ask some of the people that shot that night, but I think you get calloused to that feeling, that pressure of being in a group and being called to the line and like, hey, this is the first in for score or last in for score, whatever. I think the more that you do that, the more you shoot with people, the more other people push you. I think you get calloused to that pressure. It just becomes the new norm.
Because I walked up and I was feeling the nerves. Like I could feel my like some weird in my knees, you know, like quivering a little bit and like at full draw. And it's like, it's different. But if you just told me we moved the target away and just had a deer target and I was shooting, like you're saying, by myself, mm-hmm. I could put arrows in the same spot on a deer because I'm not really going for score on that. I'm just like, I'm right behind the shoulder, put it right mm-hmm. there, and I'm calm and collected doing it. But once I get like rings and have to aim at certain things, then it all just like, I lose it. And you throw competition in it, like, bah.
Yeah, I mean, the experience for me wasn't, like, I wasn't that nervous, but I just didn't care that much either, which proved it out. Like, I didn't put any effort into it. I didn't go through any process. Yeah. So, like, the day that I was shooting at the range, like, I was really working on process, and I've been doing this thing lately where when I get to full draw and I hit anchor, like, I go through the whole thing. So, stance, grip, anchor is, like, kind of the third part where I find my anchor point, and then I just been starting, like, a clock in my head, and I start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and usually my shot breaks within that 3 to 5 second window. But for me, that's like giving me something to focus on and think about so that I'm not thinking about like, oh, my pin is moving, or, oh, I feel a little tense in my release hand. Like, it just gives me one sole focus. I can tell you that night, I didn't do any of that shit. I just grabbed it, ripped the bow back, and I don't know what happened. Just sent one into the iron buck.
Is there something to be said too? We were talking about when we were practicing, and I did hear other people talking about it too. It seemed like everyone's marks were slightly off because of the lights and everything.
For sure.
Is that a true thing?
Absolutely. Like, I never, every time I come down here, even if it's just after work and I go out into the warehouse, I'm always left. I'm usually left, and it's just like lighting. Yeah. But I'm not that left at 20 yards is what I'm saying. I think that was just a complete lapse of, I just lost everything, but I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I've been down rabbit holes, like thinking like, yeah, what does it mean to be a good shot? And how do you get to be a good shot, and in what context, you know? I think you can probably define it in different ways, because I can be a pretty decent shot on animals. Whereas if you take me to a competitive shoot, I'm going to crap the bed for a hot minute.
And I think it's easier going to a competitive shoot though, if you're just shooting in like your group of buddies doing 3D, following your same four friends around a course and shooting. But if you're faced with other people you don't know, and there's an announcer and saying, all right, this is for score. Like you said, here's all the lights. Everyone's watching you now. Like, that's a different feeling. That's the feeling you need to put yourself in to make it harder to simulate a hunt in a sense.
We had some guys from Cedar that came down and shout out that I've known forever since I moved there, probably 16 years ago. Austin and his dad. And I talked to his dad after Craig. I talked to him after, I think he was like the 30 yarder, and he shoots, like, he used to shoot Vegas every single year. Like, he shot a bunch competitively, and he was like, man, I haven't shaken like that on a line in like 10 years, 15 years. He's like, man, I was nervous. Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun. It's fun to feel that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just want to do better. But
how anyway, we have to do it bigger now next year.
Now we got to figure out I think we could grow this thing to as big as we wanted to. I think there's the demand there. We just got to figure out space. And for an archery event, it's pretty fun because it's lighthearted. I'm yelling in everybody's face. I made up a bunch of stupid team names I will say, so the team names that I made up, I was really regretting about the first 4 or 5 teams I called to the line. I was really, regretting the length of those, and just like the, what do you call it? Iteration. Is that the right word I'm talking for?
I know what you mean. I don't know.
Long range legends.
Yeah.
Get that out of your head when you're trying to scream it, 10 times to get everybody on that team to the line.
1 mile liar, something.
Yeah. The 1 mile liars club. Try to say that. Yeah. 1 more mile liar club. Yeah. Campfire liars club. There were just some hard ones to scream out. So next year I'll definitely have to shorten that to like one word.
Team Elk.
Yeah, and shout out to Elkaholics. Just took it. I mean, those guys shot great.
They did.
Which is pretty fun.
Everyone loved it, though. That was the cool thing. Like, the feedback and just, like, a ton of people showed up, had a good time.
We got to make it bigger, though.
And shout out to here.
Norris.
Oh.
Norris
and his family and all. Like, everyone making all that delicious food.
Dude,
like,
Norris and his daughter, and it would be, I think, his stepson.
That's his son-in-law.
Son-in-law, and then his two grandkids. They came and they crushed
food. The food is so good.
They did
everything they made.
Like, yeah, they did Kahlua pig. They did
sesame axis.
Oh yeah, axis.
It might be my favorite meat dish.
I think I ate some caribou.
Yeah.
I mean, he went full ham. I mean, pun intended, but yeah, the food was incredible. Food was awesome. And a good hang. So we do have to figure out a way to grow it on our end as far as space. And then, yeah, like next year, let's get more people. Let's get a bunch of people to come out because it's really fun.
Multiple steel targets.
Yep.
Get more people to do it.
Yeah. The steel camel.
Mm-hmm. Steel camel.
That steel buck what is it? The thing's got to be like 1/4 inch thick.
Yeah.
I mean, it eats arrows like they don't even exist.
Yeah.
We are starting to get some dents in there.
Really? I have to go out and look at it today.
There's like little 16th to 8th inch like impacts. We're guys smacking it with some well-built
heavy,
bows.
Yeah. Heavy arrows and well-built bows.
Yeah. Last thing I had on that we talked about, do you want to hit this real quick? This Colorado commercial fur ban.
Yeah.
Update.
Such a...
kind of a bummer way to end on it. Yeah. I know I should have timed this better.
Way to go, Trail.
I know I screwed that up.
I have a better one at the end. I'll uplift at the end. I have one more.
Okay. So they had the commission meeting. Is it day before yesterday?
Yeah, March 4th.
March 4th. It looks like
a bunch of people showed up.
The thing I was going to say is that essentially the public demand, my understanding, the people that showed up, people that wrote letters, emails, was in basically in opposition to this ban, right? All the science.
All the science. The director. They don't want this.
Former biologists, law enforcement, everybody internally with CPW essentially said, this is not a good idea. Like we don't want to pursue this commercial fur ban. Like there's no reason behind it. There's no science to support it. So you have all this, you have this momentum and you have this outcry, like the majority. And we just voted this down. What, a year ago?
Two years ago.
That went to a popular vote and
got voted down
then. And now we return with this and the commission approves it to move forward with a 4-6-4 vote, which is so frustrating.
Yeah.
It almost makes you wonder, like, it feels like the process is broken. Like, how can this be? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Because, they don't care about the people. They just want their own.
Yeah, their own agenda.
And just force it down. And, like, they kept saying multiple times, like, all these people who were in support of this, ban. We're like 99% of Coloradans don't trap fur bears. And it's like, so you're going to try to force something in that just only 1% of people actually trap fur bears, but because of the 99% that doesn't, you think that we want to impact what the 1% does. So it's like, I don't play pickleball. So I should I just jump on a bandwagon here and put a bill out there? Like, hey, we should ban pickleball because I don't think people should play pickleball because I don't do it.
Yeah, that's what I say this all the time. It just pisses me off that like the value, somebody else's value, when you get to something like this, like, oh, my value outweighs your value. Like I'm going to take away, even though you're not causing any harm to the population.
No, they proved that.
Population's great. You're not causing any, it's based completely on an ideology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, my ideology is more important than yours.
Yeah.
It's better than yours.
And it's crazy that you can just throw a citizen petition ballot thing or whatever out there and just get something forced in after it was gone through. And
so where does
horrible,
it go to now after the...
It has to go to rulemaking now because they are going to try to figure out extra things to do with the, like the, you can still tying flies and all that stuff. Cowboy hats and stuff, like how to make rules around that. And...
Yeah, so it says this means the petition, which has been broadly referred to as a fur ban, will move into the rulemaking phase. It will be brought back before the commission in May. In its current form, the proposal would outlaw the sale, barter, or trade of wildlife furs and fur bear parts statewide. So it'll go back to a rulemaking working group, and they'll probably try to tease out some of those things. But it sounds like essentially it's moved on.
And I think that's the part that they kept pushing towards, which is maybe why they did the whole 6-4 vote thing, is they're really pissed that you could have a commercial value to these animals. As it seemed like all these antis were pissed about. They're like, no one else, we can sell wildlife parts. So it's not banning trapping or shooting of fur bears or do all this stuff, but now you just can't sell them.
Hmm.
So you can still go out there and trap beavers. You can still go out there and trap raccoons. But like it seems like they're really pissed off at having a commercial value to it. And all those people, I kept trying to chime into the commission meeting and listen to people's comments. They just hated that it was like sort of like market hunting and you're selling this thing. So they're trying to pick apart these little tiny things and just trying to attack it. But sure, they'll say right now, well, you can still do it. Well, they just got a small win. And yeah. now what are they going to do? All those people out there that keep fucking roasting me all the time about like, this is never going to happen. Why are we wasting our time? This is why you pay attention to this shit, because now they got another win in Colorado. This could easily go to other states now that mm-hmm. have the same sort of thing. We pulled it up the other day. There's like 26 states that allow this citizen petition ballot stuff to go through. And they could start chopping small little things further and further away to take more of our hunting, fishing, trapping rights completely away from us just because they don't believe in it.
I think the commercial sale, that's a red herring.
Yeah, no,
It's a complete red herring.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, just call it spade a spade.
It's their one thing they can grasp onto to give it a purpose, and it's not the actual.
Yeah, not the actual goal. The actual goal is just to make it illegal or make less people. Yeah. They just want not go trapping.
And that's this what they're going to now go after probably next. Other things they can start chopping away at.
Yeah,
like
it is a bummer. I mean, it was cool that we had so many people shout, show up and voice their opinion. And mm-hmm. I would give like a special, thanks to Dan. Dan worked at that pretty tirelessly. Mm-hmm. God, I can't formulate a word today.
Yeah, Dan Gates is amazing.
Here. I can't think today.
Dan did awesome.
I literally had in my mind Genghis Khan and the Mongols, and I couldn't.
I couldn't come up with Mongolia. You and me are on this. I wasn't in Philadelphia, but I did get up pretty early today. Same type of deal. But we have to get some of that alpha brain or whatever it is to get things rolling.
Neurogum, all that stuff.
Anyway, I did want to give an update on that. What else did you have? You wanted to close out with?
Anything else on that?
You said positive. You had something positive you wanted to run through.
Yeah, I'm still just pissed off about this.
Brady, we talk about things, and instead of like engaging and going on to the next piece of conversation, Brady just starts reading about it. He just digs in deeper.
This shit just drives me crazy that we live in this time of our lives that this is okay. You know, I get that people don't agree with hunting. People don't agree with trapping, with fishing, with selling, furs and all that stuff, but just like that you can just, put something out there and take it away from other people.
I mean, the thing about fur and fur bears, I mean, to me, it's like, it's a commodity, a hide, a fur, right? It has value to somebody. And when you place value on something, which is a part of the North American model of wildlife, you place value on something, then it gives you a reason to work for it, to conserve it, to protect it, to make sure that it exists mm-hmm. in perpetuity, that populations are sustained. And this is something that's been done for, I don't know in Colorado the history, but it's been done forever, right? Successfully, right? We've been doing this thing, and it's not like populations have tanked. It's not like it's hurting. In fact, when I read through a bunch of these people that are pushing this thing, it's all based on what ifs. It's so vague. It's global warming and, all these ideology essentially that's like kind of created. It's drummed up, It's like, well, what if? And it's super vague. That's the shit that bugs me. Instead of like relying on facts and figures and numbers and statistics over the last, 100 or 80 years or whatever it might be in Colorado or whatever state you're looking at, like you're just going to pluck it out on like what ifs, and you're going to place these like vague, rules and like on my feelings and the what ifs. Well, it's like, what about all this? We have all this data. This mm-hmm. is working.
Yeah. The problem it's is
been
to,
working. Been working.
The problem is too, you keep constantly having these people in these wildlife commissions who are really have agendas and they're anti-hunting to begin with. And that's the scary precedent right now that you can just put mm-hmm. to vote and have all these people that are kind of handpicked for a job.
Handpicked for a vote.
Yeah. And then that's...
I mean...
Whatever happened to follow the science? They were real heavy on that for a while.
Yeah. I mean,
until it comes to this.
Government as a whole right now is... They're big on picking people for votes. Like...
Yeah.
It's a rough spot.
It just drives me crazy. I could just keep going on.
Can you do the uplifting part now?
Oh, yeah. Get us on the up and up.
Oh, uplifting part is today as we're recording, so when you guys hear this, it'll already be out for a couple of weeks, Cafaro dropped their new clothing line.
Mm. So yep, we did a podcast with Aris and
you're
Kenneth.
Repping it today.
Yep. So I'm repping it today. So I'm wearing the Rome Cross Lair. So they have two pairs of pants, Passbreaker pant and the Torlander pant. The Torlander pant is their more later, mid to late season pant, and the Passbreakers are more early season pant. That one has mesh vents on the side. Torlander has big zips down the whole part of the leg, no mesh, and they have a point synthetic puffy jacket mm-hmm. as well.
What is that and one then, called that you have on?
This is the Rome Cross Lair.
I do like that.
Rome?
Looks good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Looks good.
Yeah, it does look good.
Mm-hmm.
Good color.
Looks
yeah.
comfy.
And they have the merino base layers too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that merino I've worn quite a bit. Yeah. I like it. And I like the puffy quite a bit.
Yeah, so I thought it was just, you know, shout out to them. I loved having Aris and Kenneth on the podcast and geeking out with them the other week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just cool seeing people.
Yeah, good dudes.
Mm-hmm. Kenneth, yeah. Kenneth is a stud. I owe him.
Good folks. Yeah, and we have it in stock in the warehouse and ready to ship.
You can buy it. It's actually live on Go Hunt right now, March 5th. So.
And we did ask Kenneth, is this like a third party across the board? And he said, I don't actually know. He's like, I think most of it is direct, but he's like, I know you guys have it.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Appreciate the relationship with those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
They've been awesome.
And we like being friends with everyone. So.
Yep.
Like, yeah, we make our own stuff too, but other people make stuff as well. And we're friends with everyone.
All right. Well, that was kind of a hodgepodge, but I wanted to catch up with you guys and just run through what we had going on. Brady, safe travels.
Thank you.
Me and Lorenzo will be here holding it down.
Yeah. Safe adventures as well.
Okay. Yeah. Safe adventures.
Yeah. It sounds like the adventure is like mm-hmm. a lot more dangerous than the flight.
Yeah. 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 I'll have my inReach. I will be able to update y'all on the crazy stuff and how many brown snakes I scream like a.
I want you.
I can't remember which one was highly fast and aggressive, but watch out for that.
They all are.
Or extremely fast.
Extremely
all
fast
cats.
And aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, just watch out for that one.
And
yeah.
I'm scared of the one that's highly venomous, but you don't feel it by you.
Yeah, that's just
bad combo. I'm going to challenge you. You've got to bring back me and Lorenzo a souvenir.
Oh,
I like this.
It's got to be appropriate for each of our personalities. Of so okay. we expect a souvenir.
I like that. We all should right. start doing that.
That would
every
be a good
time
one.
One of us goes on some random
bring
adventure.
Gifts and we can put them on the table. Yeah.
And it has to
speak to you guys.
Yeah.
You gotta buy it. You gotta do some shopping.
Fit who we are.
You gotta think about me, think about Lorenzo. You gotta get us a souvenir.
Okay. I got some ideas for both of you already. I'll tell you off air.
Let's go.
You're getting a kangaroo testicle change
purse. Keychain. Lucky rabbit testicle.
Lucky kangaroo testicle.
That would speak to me. Yep.
Okay.
You can't use that idea.
Shoot.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See y'all.